Now, let's get into the Word of God here. We're going to be Romans chapter 8. You can look at YouVersion, follow along in the YouVersion Bible app, and there can be some instructions on the screen if we get that slide to tell you how to do that if you don't know how. If not, you can figure it out next week. Last week, we began this series. We're going to be in the next this week and the next 2 weeks in the month of May, the rest of the month of May, looking at this section of about 14 verses that Paul is beginning to talk about in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. Paul's beginning to explain what it means to live as a follower of Jesus, what it means to be under new management, what it means that he spends the first seven chapters in the book of Romans talking about the fact that we were all under sin's domain. We were all born and lived until Jesus under sin's influence. But in Romans 8, he makes that amazing statement, but there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. What Paul is essentially saying is that because of Jesus, we are now under new influence, we are under new management, and he then begins to take the next several verses, really the rest of the chapter, begins to explain and unpack what it means practically in the life of a believer now that we are under a new influence, under new management, under a new, and what we talked about last week was he said we are under no condemnation, therefore we are under no obligation. We are under no condemnation of sin's guilty verdict. And in verse 14, he says, so therefore you now have no obligation to live according to the flesh. Because condemnation has been broken over our lives, I am now no longer obligated to live under the influence of sin. Amen, somebody. Now, what they did not tell me, or maybe they did and I just missed class that day, but what they did not tell me in Bible college is that when you are a preacher and when you begin to teach on a principle from God's word, what will automatically happen is that the very next week, the next coming days, you will have lots and lots of opportunities to live that in your own life. That when you declare, so what I'm saying is this week, I have had millions, and maybe you've experienced this too, because it also works when God gives you a new revelation or you begin to see something new from Scripture, often you will begin to have lots of chances to work that out in your life. That's just the way God seems to do it. I mean, I've had lots of opportunities this week to live under the obligation to my flesh and not according to the Spirit. I mean, I've had chances to get bitter, I've had chances to get mad and aggravated at people, had chances to worry. I mean, my daughter broke her nose last week, had to have surgery this week, and she's doing good. She's sitting right there in the front row, so nobody throw anything at her face for the next 4 to 6 weeks while all that heals. So we've had unexpected bills pop up over the last week or so. Just lots of chances to get just one of those moments and seasons in life where it's like, man, I got lots of chances, and I've had to intentionally remind myself when I sense myself getting under the flesh, hey, Justin, you're not an obligation to that. Amen. Okay, anybody else experienced any of that this week and get reminded, hey, I'm not obligated to get upset. I'm not obligated to get bitter. I'm not obligated to get mad. I'm not obligated to worry or to doubt or to be fearful. And I'll just be completely 100% transparent, honest with you. If I was keeping a scorecard, I won some of those battles and I lost some of those battles over the last few days. Amen, somebody. How many are thankful, though, that Jesus doesn't keep score in our lives anymore? Amen. What it has done is make me determined more and more that I am going to experience and live practically every principle of Scripture that God has said is mine. And I think we all should have that same determination. Amen? Anybody determined with me saying, you know what? I am going to have everything Jesus said I could have. I'm going to experience everything God said I could experience. I'm not going to let my momentary losses dictate what I'm going to encounter and experience because the Word of God says it's mine in Jesus' name. Amen, somebody? Amen. So we're going to look today at Romans chapter 8. We're going to dig in a little deeper to Romans chapter 8, verses 3 through 6 this morning. I'm going to read that, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 3 says, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. I want to read that part again. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead, I'm repeating that because that's going to be really important in just a few moments. Verse 5, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence in this place this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing. God, moving in our hearts, moving in our minds, moving in our spirits. Lord, I pray that you would make us awake, alert, and ready to receive everything that you have for us to receive in these moments together, Lord. I pray, God, that we will not just hear principles and ideals, but that we will hear, that we will get practical help from your anointing, from your word, and that we will have a real life-changing and lasting encounter with you, the Son of God and King of Kings, in Jesus' precious name. Everybody said, amen. Put your hands on your belly. Let's pray one more time over each other. Let's pray this. Repeat this after me. Say, Lord, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So in the first couple of verses there, verses 3 and 4, I know that's really wordy. Romans is probably one of the deeper theological books in the New Testament. Paul really, really dives deep and goes deep into all of the spiritual and theological ramifications of Jesus conquering death, hell, and the grave, sin forever for us. And it's very wordy, and it's very much an intellectual book. But in verse 3 and 4, Paul begins to really set the stage for what happens when the principle that he lays out in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation, okay, for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's the principle that is set up spiritually over our lives. That's what we believe. That's what we hold on to. But in verse 3 and 4, he begins to unpack that, especially in verse 4, he begins to unpack that practically and give us some ideas about what that looks like, what the principle looks like when it meets our practical. And every time that I see something else that I need to believe in Scripture, listen, belief, faith is not cemented. It is not fully realized until the principle is something I can live practically. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? What I mean is this. It's not enough for me to just get excited about a new idea or a new revelation or an exciting promise or an exciting principle here in church. So when we can shout and clap and sing and run around the sanctuary all day long, when we start shouting, you know, and I can do the whole big preacher thing, ha, there is now no condemnation. And I can get an organ back here going, bam, 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 you know, like they do in the black church. Come on, somebody. And I'm not opposed to that. Listen, I would love that if we had that in here. It would get going crazy. But we can get excited. There's nothing wrong with that. Except, listen, it can't be all excitement and hype about a promise, about a principle. Because what happens, I can get excited about the principle in church. But once I receive the promise in faith, I've got to now go home and practically live it out. Once I receive the principle in faith, I've got to then go home and figure out how practically does that principle that I'm grabbing onto, how practically does that principle play out in my life, okay? So practically, what does it look like now that I am under no condemnation? I get the principle. No condemnation, no obligation. Hallelujah. Let's shout. Let's have church. Let's get around the altar. Let's pray it through. And let's grab onto that with all the faith that we can possibly muster. But when I leave the service, when I go home on Monday morning, when my alarm clock rings, what does that now do for me? What do I've got to do? What are the practical things that need to happen for that principle to begin to play out in my life? Verse 4, he tells us very practically who gets to experience this. Listen to me now. Listen to me. Don't miss this. Okay? Everybody that receives the principle in faith will not see it realized practically in their lives. everybody that has spiritually received that God has declared the principle that sin and condemnation are broken over your lives, everyone, unfortunately, will not experience that on a practical level because of this one thing. Verse 4, listen. It says, he did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us. Now, here's the requirement. Or who's going to experience this? Who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. The people, the believers, the sons and daughters of God that will get to enjoy practically the principle of this promise of having condemnation broken, okay? Now hear me. The principle is in place in heaven, okay? If you are a child of God, blood bought, have accepted Jesus Christ your Savior, the principle is condemnation is broken over your life. However, some people will never fully realize or enjoy that promise because of this one thing. It's for those who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. What that means is this. I can receive the promise and be saved and be on my way to heaven, but still in my practical everyday life, live under the influence of my flesh and my sinful nature and never be under the influence of the Spirit and follow the things of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I would never practically enjoy the principle of the promise that I've received. Does that make sense? Okay? Jesus sets me free from the obligation to be under condemnation, but I, Monday morning, have to get up and choose to follow the Spirit instead of my flesh. I have to choose to say, Justin, you are not going to live under that obligation today. Chances are, if you're anything like me, by about 10:30 in the morning, you're going to have to remind yourself again, Justin, you were not under obligation to live under that condemnation. Anybody? And then probably about 1:13 in the afternoon, you're going to have to tell yourself again, Justin, you are not, you can say your name, you don't have to say Justin, that would be weird. Although I might need the reminder, I might need all the reminders from you guys. You are not under that obligation. But here's what I'm saying is I've got to intentionally choose that my life is going to be influenced by the Spirit. I'm going to follow the Spirit. I'm not going to live following my sinful nature, which has been broken and I'm not obligated to. And those who decide to follow the Spirit and not the flesh, that's who's going to enjoy. That's who's going to practically see that principle of freedom play out in their lives. So, since the practical experience... let me just ask this question. Who wants to practically experience that in your life? Come on, somebody. About 12 of us. Listen, I'm not really big on, you know, I understand that we're not all going to respond, but let me just help you out here, guys. We all should say yes to that question, amen? So let's try this one more time, Red Life Church. Who wants to practically experience that principle played out in your lives, amen? Okay. Even if you don't want it, just lie and say you do right now so I can move on. Okay, so make sure we're on the same page here. So if I want to practically experience that principle in my life, and if that principle is available to those who are living, choosing, following, living under the influence of the Spirit, not the flesh, then what I've got to do is I've got to figure out whose influence am I under? Whose influence am I under? Turn to your neighbor and say, whose influence are you under? I got to be able to figure that out. I got to figure it out. Why do I got to figure that out? Because if I don't ever ask myself that question and look at my life and figure out whose influence am I under, then I might find myself never experiencing practically a principle that God has declared is mine and yours. Amen? So how do we figure it out? Guess what? The next couple of verses, Paul begins to shine some light and tell us some indicators, the indicator of what influence we're under. Verse 5 says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. This is all I want you to see this thought on the screen here. Listen to me close now. What dominates my thoughts indicates what is influencing my life. What dominates my thought life will indicate what is influencing my life. That's what verse 5 says. Those that are dominated by the sinful nature, those that are following the sinful nature, those that are influenced by the sinful nature, that are not, guess what their mind is thinking? Their mind is thinking about sinful things. Okay? Now let's talk about sinful things, okay? And I shared this last week. When we talk about sinful things, you might be thinking, well, you know, drugs and alcohol and stealing and murder and lying and cheating and all of those things. And those are all sinful things. But what about like once you're beyond that and mature that and that's not your struggle anymore, there's all kinds of other sinful mindsets, sinful ways that we think. What about bitterness and unforgiveness? Come on, somebody. What about holding grudges and not letting go? What about pride? What about those kind of influences? What about, guess what? Can I tell you something? Doubt, worry, fear, if those are things, do you know that that is part of the sinful nature? God created you and I with the capacity to believe, to receive by faith, to walk in faith and follow after God by faith. If I am full of doubt, worry, unbelief, distress, listen, if that's what, again, I'm not, listen, guys, understand. He says what dominates your thinking. What dominates your thinking, okay? So don't freak out, and because you have a fearful thought once in a while or a doubtful thought once in a while, think, oh, man, I'm dumb. No. I'm talking about what dominates your thinking, okay? I heard a preacher one time say it like this. He said, I can't stop a bird from coming and dropping a stick in my hair. Like a bird can swoop down, drop something in your hair, maybe not a stick, maybe something else. But, see, I can't help that. But I can certainly stop a bird from making a nest in my hair. Amen? That's what I'm talking about, dominating your thinking. You can't help stray thoughts that hit you. And that's just part of this experience that we live here on this thing called earth and through this life that God's given us, right? But what's dominating your thinking? If I'm constantly worried, if I'm constantly doubting, if I'm constantly questioning to the point that it's hindering my walk with God, that's sinful thinking. Sinful. I'm not saying it's keeping you out of heaven. I'm not saying it doesn't mean you're not saved. I'm saying it's sinful in the fact that it's part of your sinful nature that Jesus has redeemed, not the spiritual nature that God wants you to live in. Amen? Okay? So what's dominating your thinking? What dominates my thoughts indicates what is influencing my life. Okay? Whether it's selfishness, pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, some sort of addiction. Listen, those things, let me say it this way. I will live out practically the principle of the promises of God. I will live those things out practically first in the inner dialogue and in the thoughts of my mind. Okay? Now, I know that sounds like some real hippy-dippy, voodoo, millennial kind of, you know what I mean, think it, whatever stuff. But that's the reality that God's told us here. Amen, somebody? Okay? This is not think happy thoughts and happy things will happen to you. That's not what we're talking about. This is letting the Spirit dominate your thinking, dominate your mind, sinful things. So if my mind is constantly dominated by fleshly, sinful, again, not just like sins, bad stuff, sin, old ways of thinking, guess what? That's telling me that there may be some areas of my life that I'm not living under the influence of the Spirit. And perhaps the reason that I'm not practically enjoying the principle that God has promised is because there's some things in my mind that I need to let the Spirit have control over. There's some things in my mind. So what's he say? So he says that then the opposite is true. Those who are dominated by sinful nature think about sinful things. Those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. Think about the things that please the Spirit, okay? Think about the things that please the Spirit. I can know that I am beginning to walk, at least in some part, under the influence of the Holy Spirit and getting closer and closer to seeing everything practically that God has principally promised to me, when my first thought begins to go to not how do I feel about this and how does this affect me and do I like this or not, But my thought is, what does God feel about this? How does this affect my relationship with Jesus? What does the Holy Spirit feel about this? And you can insert whatever this is you want to. See, I love the fact here that Paul does not really get into a bunch of specifics. He just says things that please the Spirit, okay? Because the reality is, trying to figure out those things that please the Spirit, listen to me, that is the Christian journey that we are all individually on, amen? And those things in your life that please the Spirit may be different than the things in my life that please the Spirit. There's general guidelines here in Scripture. Come on, somebody. But the things that God has called you to do to live for Him and the destiny and the purpose and the ministry and the anointing and the calling that God has on your life, it's very different for every single one of us. Those things that please the Spirit. The reality is this. Too many, 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 many times, and I'm looking in the mirror saying this to myself. There's not a mirror back there, but I'm just saying if I was, this is not just directed to you. Hi, Sam. This is not, he waved at me back there and it distracted me. Hey, sorry. Squirrel. Anyway, don't mess with me back there, guys. What was I talking about? No, I'm just kidding. So many times, my first instinct is, well, my first instinct is like, I don't like that. Or I do like that. Or I feel like this. Or I feel like that. Listen, at some point, to begin to live under the influence of the Holy Spirit, I've got to start thinking, what does the Holy Spirit think about this? What does God think about this? What does the Word of God say about this? What does Jesus feel about this? How does my decision affect my walk with God? When I begin to think that way, I am beginning to come under His influence. And as I begin continually to surrender and come under His influence, guess what? I will begin to see the principles of the Word of God practically lived out in my life. Amen? But I've got to be willing to let myself, listen, so here's what He says. Here's what He says. He gives us, so what do you do with that? What are you supposed to do with that, Pastor Justin? Here's what He says. He says, So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what do I got to do? I've got to let the Holy Spirit dominate my thinking. I've got to let the Word of God saturate my thoughts. I've got to begin to listen. As I say this, I get it, okay? Believe me. This has been a journey and a struggle for me. Okay, I remember when I really began to become aware of the connection between the way that I was thinking in my mind and how that related to my relationship with God spiritually. I was probably in Bible college, and I remember as the kids say today, I got woke to that kind of idea. I don't think I've ever said that before. It was the first time. It didn't work. I won't say it again. Sorry, you guys all looking like I was an idiot. but I kind of recognized this connection. And the thing is, here's the thing. You know, it's possible to live in blissful ignorance. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes I wish, God, could you just left me alone? I could have been that happy 17, 18-year-old kid that just loved Jesus and didn't have, it was just all on fire for God and didn't really care about my maturity, didn't care about deepening that. It was just all whatever. But unfortunately, God is not going to leave us that way. Amen? But there's this weight that comes to revelation when you know something, you then begin to, you're now responsible to carry it out. And as I begin to get, I remember being in worship services many, many, many times while I was probably in Bible college, just really began to connect with me. Because I'd be in worship, I'd be in worship, and the band would be going crazy, the service would be going crazy, and I'd be trying to enter in, I'd be trying to connect with God and hear from the Lord that day. And my mind would just begin to wander to the most ridiculous, sometimes shameful, sometimes sinful things. And I'm in church, and I remember really like, God, what's going on? This shouldn't be in my mind right now, right? So what do I got to do? I've got to control my thoughts. I've got to take hold of my, I've got to discipline my mind. Many of us go through life without ever giving a thought to the thoughts that we're thinking. Does this please God? Does this line up with the Word of God? Does this is this, or is this just all about how, and listen, if I don't ever give myself any mind to that, then guess what? I'm going to continue to live under that influence. Because those who are dominated by the sinful, by sinful things, their mind, they think about sinful things. You see how that's all connected? So I get that this will begin, especially when you start out. For some of you, this may be some new ideas or some new things that the Holy Spirit is showing you, convicting you this morning. Listen, let me just tell you straight up. This is not going to be a one-time deal. This is not like a, this is not, we're not going to pray around the altar this morning. You're not going to say a prayer before you leave today, and you're going to go out, and your mind is just going to be completely renewed and set on God. That's not going to happen. You're going to have to willfully, maybe, likely, hundreds of times a day, willfully grab your mind and say, nope. Not going there. I'm going to think about something else instead. I'm going to line my brain, my thoughts up with what God says. Now, listen, well, I don't know what God says. Well, here you go. Grab yourself a Bible and start learning what God says. That's the only way to do that. Okay? That's the only way to do that. Amen, somebody. Oh, I don't know how to read the Bible. Well, we got this thing called Growth Track. We just started a new session this month. We're going to have another session at the end of the summer and another session at the beginning of the year. We got three or four of those times going a month. I'll show you how to do all that. We'll show you how to do all that. How to read your Bible. How to have a quiet time. How to encounter Jesus on your own outside of this place. You hear what I'm saying? You've got to do that. If I don't take the steps to learn how to do that, how am I going to discipline my mind to get under the Spirit's influence? Well, is it really that simple? Yes, it is that simple. It's not easy. It's not easy. It takes some work. It takes some discipline. It takes some intentionality, but it is that simple. Amen? So I've got to let the Spirit dominate my thinking. I've got to begin living under the Holy Spirit's influence. I can begin living under the Holy Spirit's influence by allowing Him to dominate my thoughts. Okay? How do I start to live under that influence and begin to see that those principles practically apply to my life? Begin letting the Holy Spirit dominate my thoughts. When I begin to let Him dominate my mind, when I begin to let Him have influence over my mind, He'll begin to have influence over my life. As He begins to have influence over my life, the principle becomes practical. Okay? The principle becomes practical. We just give you a couple of, Paul doesn't go into any specifics, but I want to give you just a couple of specifics, some things you may want to just consider letting the Holy Spirit dominate your mind about. How about this? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit start dominating? Why don't you surrender control of your mind's thoughts to the Holy Spirit in the area of the way that you think about yourself, first of all? What do you mean? I mean this. Why don't you quit thinking about yourself as the old, nasty, jacked up, wretched, wicked, sinful person you used to be? And why don't you let yourself start thinking about yourself as the child of God that He has said you are? Why don't you, instead of looking in the mirror and seeing that old jacked up person that's made all kinds of mistakes and done everything wrong, why don't you start looking at that person saying, well, I did something right. I gave my life to Jesus and He has called me the righteousness of God in Christ. Why don't you start there with the way you see yourself? And then while you're at it, why don't you go in and let the Holy Spirit dominate your thoughts about God? And let me tell you what you ought to be thinking about God. God is not mad at you. God does not hate you. He is not angry with you. God loves you. He is a good Father. And He has good things for your life. When the Lord begins to work on you and prune you and take things maybe out of your hand and begin to show you things that you need to work on, it's not because He's a jerk and a mean guy that wants to ruin your good time. It's because He has another life that's so much better than the one that you're living now. And He's saying, why are you allowing yourselves to live below the means that I've created you to live spiritually in the heavens? Come on, somebody. Why don't we change the way we think about God? Let the Holy Spirit dominate those thoughts. And while you're at it, while you're letting the Holy Spirit dominate your thoughts about yourself and about God, why don't we go ahead and just go all the way with it? Let the Holy Spirit dominate our thoughts about everybody else too. And this is what I mean. This is probably the place that I find myself most often. Listen, how about we, I'll just say we because it's me, maybe it's just me. How about Justin, you stop thinking of everybody as your adversary and your enemy and stop thinking that people are out to get you or stop thinking, listen, stop thinking thinking that just because someone is further along on their spiritual journey than you are, that they are somehow better than you and they're living some unattainable life that you can't. And how about this? How about we stop looking down on people that are not where you are spiritually and thinking that there's some wicked, terrible people that don't love Jesus? And how about we just recognize that we're all doing the best that we can, that we're all in different places along our journey, and God has not called us to judge where we are according to where someone else is. He's only called us to judge where we are according to where we are. So instead of trying to figure out where we fit in on the spectrum, let's just try to all help each other get to the next step in our walk with God. And to do that, I've got to allow myself to think and to realize that you are not against me. I am not against you. I don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican. We are on the same team. Come on, somebody. I don't care. I don't care who you're voting for in the next election. We are on the same team. I don't care if you listen to Fox News or CNN. We are on the same team in Jesus. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you support Connersville or Franklin County. We are on the same team in Christ. Come on, somebody. I don't care if you like DC movies more than Marvel movies. I do care about that. You can leave, actually. No, I'm kidding. We're on the same team in Jesus. Amen, somebody. I don't care if you like country or rap. We're on the same team. I don't care if you're a baby boomer or a Generation Xer or a millennial or a Generation Z or whatever. We are on the same team. It is not us versus them. It is just us and him. Somebody write that down. That's good. That's good. Let the Holy Spirit start to dominate our thoughts. So the question is, what's dominating our thoughts? What's dominating your thoughts? Who is dominating your thoughts? Whose influence are you under? If my thoughts are the indicator, whose influence am I under? Now, just in case you're like, you know, it doesn't matter. Let me just help you. It does matter. Verse 6. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Death, the Bible says, is the result of me continuing to live under the influence of my old man, of the sinful nature, of the flesh. If I don't ever get my mind to be dominated and to surrender my mind and allow my thoughts to be dominated by the Holy Spirit, death will be the result. Now, you say, well, I've made it this long. I plan on living a long more time. Let me just help you, friend. Death, let me say it this way. If I don't allow the Holy Spirit to take control of my thoughts and dominate my thoughts, let me tell you something. There will be a ton of things that will die in my life before I do. When I continue to allow with sinful, live with sinful, dominated thinking, when I refuse to allow the Holy Spirit to influence my thoughts, I will see all sorts of stuff die in my life before I ever do. And I think that's what Paul, I mean, ultimately, we're all going to die. But there's no reason why we have to die before we do. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. There's no reason why my peace has to die before I do. Amen. But it will when I allow the sinful nature to dominate my mind. There's no reason why joy has to die in my life long before I do, but it will if I don't allow the Spirit to dominate my mind. There's no reason why my faith needs to die before I do, but it will, because the sinful nature, that kind of thinking, leads to death. And you might be able to live for years and years and years and years and years to a ripe old age. Can we put an age on it so I can offend somebody? Whatever age I say is old is going to make somebody that's close to that age mad, right? I'm just not going to do that. You might be able to live to a ripe old age of 37. Whatever age you think is old. But there'll be lots of stuff that die before you do. But thankfully, see, I think that's a big part of what Jesus was talking about when he said, but I've come. In John chapter 10, verse 10, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. That's what he's talking about. Let the Spirit dominate your thoughts and begin to experience the life that Jesus has called us to live. Amen? It's so powerful when I begin to let the Holy Spirit influence my mind. It begins to literally change the way I see the world. It begins to change every situation I come into. Amen? Standing all over this place this morning. Maybe this morning the Holy Spirit's been convicting your heart a little bit, showing you some areas that maybe he's saying, hey, this is some areas of your thinking, this is some areas of your thoughts that is not under the right influence. Listen, he's not doing that because he wants to make you feel bad. He's not doing that because he wants to ruin your weekend or tell you or make you feel like you're a terrible person or anything. He's only doing that because he wants to say, listen, I've got something else for that to live under if you'll let me do it. Amen? Friends, conviction's a good thing. It's a holy thing. We need conviction in our lives. Don't bristle up and get hard-hearted when the Holy Spirit begins to speak something to your heart and begins to bring. So I don't even know. Listen, here's how you know if the Holy Spirit's bringing something to your mind. When your mind begins to go to things automatically, when I say you need to let the Holy Spirit control areas of your mind, and maybe I mention bitterness and your mind goes to a specific situation that you know you've been holding bitter, that's the Holy Spirit touching that nerve. Some of you may have even felt it. You may even literally feel that anger rise up again. That's the Holy Spirit just touching the nerve a little bit. Amen? It's good, though. It's good. What do doctors? Doctors say, rate your pain. They touch. They got to poke stuff and say, what's going on? Listen, because if you don't feel anything at all, that's bad news. You're in bad trouble. Amen? I know it's painful. Listen, if I fall a few stories, it's going to be painful, but I'd rather feel the pain in my legs than not feel nothing after that happens, because then I know something's real broke. Amen, somebody? So it may hurt, it may be a little uncomfortable, but it's good. Touching the nerve, saying, hey, let's work on this. Let's fix this. Let's get this. Let's start to fix this by getting this under the right influence, by surrendering that part of your life. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes all this place this morning? I just want to give you a chance to just for a moment, take an inventory, focus on where you are, you and your walk with God. You know, you may be in this place this morning, you've never surrendered to Jesus. You've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe your mom or dad or grandma took you to church when you were a kid and all that. But listen, maybe it's never really been a real personal thing for you. This morning, you have that opportunity. This morning, right now, maybe you've never experienced. Maybe some of this is sounded kind of like out of left field for you, because you have not experienced that principle. You have not been set free from condemnation. That's not what God's spoken over your life, because you have not said yes to Jesus yet. Right now, today, you can do that. Right now, in this moment, you can receive a new influence by allowing yourself to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if that's where you are, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to give you a microphone and tell you to confess all of your nastiest sins to us so that you can. No, I'm not going to do any of that. I am going to ask you to raise your hand just as a sign, an outward public expression that says, yes, I'm saying yes to Jesus. And if that's what you feel like you need to do today, if your stomach is beginning to get turned up in knots and your heart is beating fast, there's a really good chance. The Bible in Revelation says, says that Jesus knocks on the door of our heart. And a lot of times that's what it feels like when Jesus is knocking on the door of our hearts. And he might be doing that for you right now in this moment. And I just want to put you at ease right now. Listen to me. If that's what you're experiencing, if that's what you're feeling, if you're saying, man, this is a moment that I need to surrender my life to Jesus. Listen, I just want you to know something, man. God is not mad at you. He is not upset with you. He loves you. In fact, he loves you so very much that 2,000 years ago, God became man, walked on this earth, and lived a perfect, blameless, sinless life. The life that every one of us are commanded by the Old Testament law that we are commanded to live. However, because of sin, none of us could ever achieve that goal. But Jesus came and lived the life that we could have lived. And then, after living a perfect, blameless life that we are all called and commanded to live, he then flipped the script and died the death that every single one of us deserved to die because of our sin. So Jesus lived to live the way that we should have lived and then died the way that we should have died, and he did it all in our place. He did it in your place. He did it in my place. And friend, he didn't do that because he doesn't love you. He did that because he does love you. In fact, the book of Romans, earlier Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, this is how great we know God's love is, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He loves you. And with every breath on the cross, with every beating that he took with the whip, with every step that he took down the road, carrying the cross on his back, he was doing it for you. He was doing it for me so that this day could happen for you if that's what God's calling you to do. So right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody look around. This is between you and God. Don't worry about who's on your right, who's on your left. Don't worry about who you came with today. Listen, don't forget about any of that. Every single person that has experienced this and has experienced freedom in Jesus and is saved, every single one of us had to come to the grips with this moment at one time or another. It may not have happened in a church, it may have happened in a grocery store or at somebody's house or out in the woods somewhere, but we've all had to come to this moment where we said, Jesus, I accept you. And today we want to celebrate that with you and give you that opportunity as well. If you're in this place today, you say, man, I need to accept Jesus. I need to accept that new influence. I need to accept that new management in my life. Will you just right now, I'm not going to count to three, just right now, raise your hand all over this room. Raise your hand to say yes to this. Amen. 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 Thank you so much. Thank you so much for saying yes to Jesus today. I want everybody in this room to pray out loud with your own mouth so that you can hear it with your own ears. Everybody, let's pray together, and then heaven's about to throw a party. Let's pray. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. I accept your sacrifice for my sin right now, in Jesus' name. Forgive me. Cleanse me, wash me, make me new in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. Fill me with your grace to live for God from this moment on for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Holy Spirit, make that real right now. Lord, you declared in your word that your spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we have become children of God. I pray for every hand that was raised. Maybe somebody that's watching online right now, joining with us, has prayed that in their living room, in their workplace, in their car. Lord, I pray you make this moment more real than the very air that we are breathing right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Maybe today, the Holy Spirit, you know, you're saved, you've accepted Jesus. But man, maybe you haven't really been living under that influence, and the Holy Spirit's saying, you know what, it's time to get your mind right. It's time to get your mind back under the management, under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The worship team's going to lead us in song as we end this time together. I'm going to pray. These altars are open. There will be people down here to pray with you, our elders and prayer team. We'd be more than happy to agree with you in prayer. If there's anything going on, maybe there's not. Maybe you're all good with all this, but maybe you got a doctor's appointment or something going on in your family. You need prayer. We're here to connect with you in prayer and pray with you because I believe that there's powerful things that happen when we join our faith together in prayer. Amen, somebody? Amen, somebody? And listen, there's nothing magical or supernatural about our prayer team. It's just when we join hands together, man, Jesus said, I'm going to come and meet when two or three are gathered in my name. Amen? And so that's the power that's released there. Let's pray. Man, if the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, we got prayer every time. These altars are open, and we're going to just worship for a moment as we end our time together this morning on this beautiful Mother's Day. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, I thank you, God, for lighting our path back to you through your word. Thank you for lighting a path that we can see every promise that you have declared for us and over us in your word. You have lit a path through that very same word to see that practically lived out in our lives. I pray, Lord, every area of our mind, of our thinking, of our thoughts that's not being dominated by you, God, we surrender it to you right now, and we say, Holy Spirit, have full influence over our mind, over our thoughts, in Jesus' name. And I thank you that as we allow that to happen, your word will be true in our lives, that the Spirit will lead us to life and peace. In Jesus' name, let it be so. Amen. Amen.